This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
Four statewide judicial seats, including a key seat on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, are on the ballot in the November 2nd general election, along with a wide array of county, municipal, and school board races. To take a look at the ballot, we are joined by veteran political consultant Chris Nicholas of Eagle Consulting. Chris, once again, we're just a couple of days away from an election coming up on Tuesday, November 2nd. This year, we have statewide judicial elections. They tend to be low-profile affairs. Tell us a bit, first of all, why should people care about who our statewide judges are?
Loman, you're correct that they are sometimes often low-profile affairs. But remember, this is the third branch of government. We spend a lot of time and money talking about the other two branches and their campaigns, governor and the state house and state senate. So I think we should care about this one as well. So when folks go into their voting booth or if they're filling out a mail-in ballot, they're going to see eight people, running for four slots on three different judicial courts. So I'm going to start from the bottom up. So one of our three statewide courts is called the Commonwealth Court, and that is the court of first jurisdiction for election law. If people are suing the state or have a workers' comp claim that can't get figured out and get sued, it goes there. And for now, we have two openings. On the Democratic side, you have Lori Dumas and David Lee Spurgeon. On the Republican side, you have Judge Drew Crompton, who was appointed to a position there a year and a half ago. And then the other Republican is Stacey Wallace. The next level of court is called the Superior Court, and that's the busiest appeal court. If someone gets convicted of robbing a bank in their county court and wants to appeal, it goes there. If someone appeals their divorce settlement, that sort of stuff, it goes to the Superior Court. So the Democratic nominee for Superior Court is Tamika Lane, and on the Republican side, the nominee there is Meg Sullivan. And finally, there is one opening on the Supreme Court. That is not just the oldest appellate court in Pennsylvania, Loman. It's the oldest appellate court in the country. And so that one normally gets the most attention. Right now, there are five Democrats on that panel and just two Republicans. So one of the Republican slots is open. So the Democrats see an opportunity to expand the majority to 6-1. And Republicans are saying, wait a second, we got to keep what we have at least. So on the Democratic side, the nominee for Supreme Court is Superior Court Judge Maria McLaughlin from Philadelphia. On the Republican side, their nominee is Judge Kevin Brobson of the Commonwealth Court, where he also serves as president judge, kind of the head of that entire court on Commonwealth Court. So again, for Supreme Court, you have a Democrat Superior Court judge running against a Republican Commonwealth Court judge. And that's often the case here where you get people from the two quote-unquote lower statewide appeals courts who try and move up to the big one. And I always stress to people that it is important to vet who they want to vote for because these folks – judges, statewide judges, have the longest term in the state, 10 years. So when this person, either Judge McLaughlin or Judge Brobson, gets elected on November 2nd, they're there for 10 years. So you don't have a lot of recompense if something goes wrong. Also, on Election Day, folks will be voting for a lot of local offices like school board, their down-ballot county row office candidates such as controller and that sort of thing. Many towns will be electing their borough council people or township supervisors. You get some mayors thrown in there. So it's just an odd thing the way it works in Pennsylvania is that you go from the busiest year in our election calendar, the race for president, and the next year, the year ending in one, you get the slowest of the 4 years.
And even in counties at the county level, we'll point out there are a number of counties that have a county executive county council system of government. Lehigh, Erie, Northampton come to mind. They'll have those races, but you don't even have county commissioners for those counties that have three-member boards of commissioners up this year. So it is a slower year at the county level. Let's focus for a couple of minutes here, Chris, on the Supreme Court. And you referenced the fact that Republicans have only two seats on the seven-member court. How is it that Republicans are down so far on that court when they have the overwhelming majority on the Commonwealth Court, and it's about even on the Superior? But with the Supreme Court, Republicans are on the verge of almost being shut out.
So it all goes back to that for judicial elections for Republicans to what was a terrible year in 2015. Due to a variety of circumstances that year, there were not one, not two, but three Supreme Court slots up in 2015, which in Pennsylvania was unprecedented. We have had a couple times where you had two members of two slots in that court open at the same time, but this was three of them. So the Democrats and their allies, the trial lawyers, the environmental lobby, labor unions, they did a much better job of fundraising, and they out-hustled and out-raised and outspent the Republican side, and the Democrats had a three-for-three sweep in 2015. So for them, that was money well spent because those folks have helped move their agenda forward in several critical areas. So when you lose three seats in 1 year, which is normally what you would have in a decade, you really get behind the eight ball. So there is a seat open this year in the Supreme Court, and there'll be one open in 2023. So if the Republicans win both of those seats, they'll be down 4-3. But then after that, unless there is an untimely incident or an accident, there won't be any Supreme Court openings for a long time.
Or perhaps one other thing about electing these judges and justices, you mentioned that they have 10-year terms, which is a long period of time. But then they don't run for re-election. They run for retention.
Correct. So what happens with retention is it'll just say Judge Jones of this court is standing for retention. They don't even run against somebody. Voters just vote yes or no whether they should be retained. In modern history, there's only been one judge that was not retained, and that was a Democratic Supreme Court justice back after the pay raise debacle in the mid-2000s, shortly after the Supreme Court had upheld the case that allowed those huge middle-of-the-night pay raises to go into effect for the legislature. So, but beyond something extraordinarily like that, you couldn't even call a retention election a speed bump because that would do say bad things about speed bumps. So there's just very little recourse once a judge gets in until they reach the mandatory retirement age, which recently was raised here from 70 to 75.
We have been talking with Chris Nicholas. Chris is a veteran political consultant, done a number of statewide campaigns as well as congressional and local campaigns. And he is with Eagle Consulting. So, Chris, if folks would like to learn more about you and follow you on Twitter, how can they do that?
Sure, Loman. Eagle Consulting Group, we are celebrating our 30th anniversary this year. Oh. My company, I've been a consultant for longer than that, but Eagle's been around for 30 years now. Our website is eagleconsult.com, and on Twitter, it's at Eagle63.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.